Thank you, Ed. That was certainly a well-embellished introduction. I appreciate that. As I consider why it is that I'm going to Honduras and God's calling me there, I like to think that I'm emulating a blind man. And I'd like to explain that a little bit. Maybe you could turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We'll begin reading with verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I think that's a very significant passage. Bartimaeus had come to receive his sight, and he received it. And then Jesus gave him an instruction. He said, go thy way. And you see which way it was that Bartimaeus went. He followed Jesus in the way. And you know, I think it's significant too what that way led to. That was the last time that the Lord Jesus would be in Jericho. He was traveling to Jerusalem. In a week's time, he would die for us. And Bartimaeus chose to follow him in the way. And I desire to do that with my life too. I'm sure all of y'all do too. I'd like to share with you in just a few minutes, and I'm cognizant of the time, a little bit about my spiritual journey and how the Lord has called us to Honduras. Several years ago, I was a student at Texas Tech University. I was dating a young co-ed there. I really liked her. She was a very attractive young woman and very pleasant. And after our third date together, I was taking her back to her dorm room. And she said to me, you know, Jim, this is the last time I want to see you. Well, that was a real blow to my ego. I said, why is that? And she said, I need a spiritual leader. I'm a Christian, and I need a man who will lead me spiritually. And of course, I was shocked. I said, well, what do you think I am, an atheist or something? But she held true to her word, and we didn't see each other anymore. And that experience caused me to think. Caused me to think about my relationship with God. Until that time, sure, I believed in God. I believed in a lot of things, and I believed in God. But I began to think about my relationship with God. And I began meeting with some believers at South Plains Bible Chapel. It was through their ministry that I committed myself to the Lord. My years there at South Plains were really tremendous years. The teaching of Brother Ed and others, and I grew greatly during that time. But there came a point in my life when I decided I needed to reach out to others more than I was. And another brother, who happened to be in fellowship at that time, agreed. And so we decided we'd do something different. We decided we'd go out and just start preaching out to the public. The only thing is, I was very shy. So we decided what we would do, we'd go to some out-of-the-way town where no one would know us, and we'd preach out there. Well, it was my task to find some out-of-the-way place. And I picked a town called Marfa, Texas. Probably some of you know about Marfa. It's way out there in West Texas. Far away from anything else. Well, this brother and I, by the way, his name was James. James and I drove down there. We got down there and we decided, well, this just really isn't suitable. Maybe we were a little reluctant to do it anyways. But we were so close to Mexico, we decided, well, we'll just go across the border. It'd be a lot easier to speak to the Mexicans anyways, even though we couldn't speak Spanish. Well, we drove across the border. And it was a real eye-opener for us both. You know, in this country, we're tremendously blessed. There's radio, Christian books, just a wealth of Christian material. If you want to know something about the Lord Jesus Christ, you can go nearly anywhere and find out. So much available. But it wasn't so there. And the people were very receptive to us and to our message. James and I began to return to Mexico at regular intervals. And before long, he developed a burden to reach out to his own people in his native country. He was from Guyana. And he said to me, Jim, I'd like to go back and talk to my relatives and friends about the Lord. Would you like to go with me? I said, sure. So we traveled together to Guyana. If Mexico is impoverished, then Guyana is absolutely destitute. Not just materially, but spiritually. Voodoo and Islam is on the rise there. There's a lot of Christian nominalism. And again, our eyes were really opened to see the great work of the Lord amongst those who are witnessing for Him. Later on that year, my wife and I traveled to Guatemala to be with the Cockings there in Quetzaltenango. The Cockings were very good. They showed to us the other side of missionary life, the hard, practical side. A year later, we went back again. You'd think by this time maybe that I was listening to the Lord, but still I wasn't convinced. There were many experiences I had on that trip. Well, I'd like to share just one of them with you. We were up in a clinic in a very remote part of that country, and I was punching holes in a chorus book with an ice pick. I had been doing that all morning long when Carla Cocking came to me, and she said, we need someone to take this wheelchair over to a young boy who's losing his muscular control. He'll soon die, but we want to give him a wheelchair for the last days of his life. So I was more than happy to do that. My hands were getting sore, and I just wanted to get out of there for a little while. Well, we traveled down the road a ways and then off on a little trail down a hillside to this hovel where this boy was. And actually, he didn't have any parents anymore. He was living with his uncle. And he was leaning up against a tree in this yard. And his uncle met us. And actually, there was quite a few people there. And they all seemed to regard this boy as something of a nuisance, something of a bother. And to my shame, I'll have to admit that maybe a little bit of that rubbed off on me. We picked up this boy and set him in the wheelchair. And this uncle tried to push him around on the ground, but there were so many rocks, the wheelchair would keep hanging up on rocks. So I was a little bit disgusted, maybe. I said, no, that's not how you do it. If you're going to go over rocks, cock the thing back up on those big wheels, and I went over there and pulled it up, maybe out of frustration, and that boy had lost the tone in his neck muscles, and his head flipped back, as I cocked that wheelchair. And for a moment, his eyes met mine as I looked down at him, and his eyes were full of shock and fear. And God seemed to speak to me at that moment and say, Jim, where is your heart? Later on that day, I went back to that hillside. I looked over those mountains of the Guatemalan highlands and all the little houses all through that area. And I thought about how in a few months that young boy would die. And no one would really care. No one would really care at all. I thought about all those hundreds and thousands of people who had never heard the gospel of Christ. Later on that trip, we traveled to Honduras, and it was there that God confirmed to us that that was where he had have us to go. So as Ed mentioned, in the will of the Lord, in August, we'll be traveling there. I'd like to just mention, too, in closing, it wouldn't complete the story without it, that I'll be traveling with my three children and my wife. And my wife is that same one who so many years ago said, Jim, I need a spiritual leader in my life. Thank you.